Since Digital Adaptation came out in March, I've been doing a lot of consultancy. Consultancy for organisations struggling with the idea of digital adoption. Charities, universities, governments, not-for-profits and the private sector all are unsure how to adapt to the digital world we now live in. Although they're keen to change, they're also hesitant. And this manifests itself in the form of a question. Can you point to an organisation who has made this kind of digital transformation? It's a tough question because this kind of transformation takes years, and that means the majority are still in the throes of the process. That said, I often refer to the government digital service. It seems that anybody talking about digital transformation are talking about the British government. This often comes as a surprise to those I speak to. After all, the British government is not the normal candidate for progressive thinking. Also, many have seen the gov.uk site and dismissed it as not very pretty. But there are solid reasons for holding gov.uk up as an example of digital transformation, and none of them have anything to do with the website. Don't get me wrong, I think the website is actually a masterpiece. Sure, it's not pretty, but it's not meant to be. It's utilitarian, which is exactly what government design should be. In fact, it's so good that it's won the Design of the Year award, the first time a website has ever done so. That said, building an effective website is not what digital transformation is about. Digital transformation is about transforming an organisation to better serve its connected consumers. And based on that definition, the government digital services have achieved three things. They've built an exceptional team, they've helped spread a new culture, and they've established strong leadership. Other organisations can learn a lot from these three factors, especially the need to build an exceptional team. Changing the culture of an organisation often feels like warfare. It begins by establishing a bridgehead, a place where you can launch your attack, a foothold in enemy territory. When it comes to digital transformation, this bridgehead is normally the digital transformation team. This team does not conform to the culture of the rest of the organisation. They need to represent the new model that the organisation should be moving towards, and that means that the team needs to be sure of themselves, experts in their field. It also means that at least a proportion of the team needs to come from outside, people untainted by the existing culture. That is exactly how the government digital service began. A small team of expert contractors were assembled to work on the alpha version of the gov.uk website. They were oblivious to the culture of the British government, and instead they drew on the working methodologies of tech startups. This crack force of digital professionals established a bridgehead within the British government, a new user-centric culture designed to spread across the organisation. But a bridgehead is not enough on its own. It can't continue to exist in isolation. The whole point is to push from that starting point and conquer the rest of the organisation. It needs to spread its digital by default thinking until it becomes ubiquitous. And again, the government digital service handled this very cleverly, although I suspect not entirely intentionally. The government digital service had no intention of being just another service department. They didn't exist to build the ideas of others within the organisation. They intended to lead the digital direction of the British government, and they couldn't do that alone. They realised that to build digital services, they needed business specialists in those services. But instead of taking a brief from these specialists, they brought them into the team, and that was a stroke of genius. By embedding these business specialists in the team, they become exposed to the new culture. They become more user-centric, more agile, more digitally aware, and then they return to their own teams, taking that culture with them. This new approach becomes so embedded in some of the departments that the GDS were able to hand control back to those departments. The old culture had gone away, and so they were quite capable of managing digital themselves. Not that the battle for digital transformation is a one-way process. Entrenched cultures don't give up without a fight, and that's where a strong leadership team is vital. People don't like change. It makes them feel threatened. Change undermines their position, threatens to take away what they've worked so hard to gain. Also, many people don't like digital because they don't understand it, and we fear what we don't understand. We feel threatened by it. It's unsurprising that many people resist digital transformation, and that's why digital professionals find resistance on all sides. Under such pressure, many just surrender and are assimilated into their existing culture, even though they know that it's wrong. The only way to stop this from happening is to have a strong leadership protecting them. Leadership with the authority to say no, authority to force through change. This leadership exists on a couple of levels. First, there's the digital lead, the person who heads up the digital transformation team. That person has to be responsible for the vision, the direction, and the digital expertise. They are the people that draw up the battle plans that get fought over every day. In the case of the Government Digital Service, this was Mike Bracken. He used to be the Director of Digital Development at The Guardian, and he's an established digital leader who has experience in navigating internal politics. He knows how to overcome an existing culture. The second part of digital leadership happens at an executive level. For the digital lead to overcome senior people's resistance to change, they need executive support. The lower the digital team sits in the organisation, the more likely it is that it'll end up just being a service department, a department unable to impact the culture of the organisation. But with high-level support, they are able to overcome resistance and bring about real change. This executive sponsor doesn't have to be an expert in digital, they just need to give digital lead a mandate for change and support them to make it happen. In the case of the British government, this executive sponsor was Francis Maude, the Minister of the Cabinet Office. It was him who understood the need for change and had the foresight to appoint Mike Bracken. Any organisation can create an impressive new site by commissioning an outside agency, but without addressing the underlying cultural legacy of the organisation, it's never really going to flourish. Instead, it will just perpetuate the redesign cycle that has haunted most organisations for years. I would encourage you when you next come to redesign your site not to stop there. Redesigning your site is not enough. You need to redesign your organisation too. Only then will you be equipped to serve the connected consumer in the new digital marketplace.